snap it in. And it's, I mean, there's no light that comes in. You only look through the little goggles right there. But like I said, this one's set up for split screen, so it doesn't look as good as it should. But it is awesome.
Well, we're going to have to test it out.
Oh, yeah.
So, Scotty, welcome back. It's episode 9 of the Scary Dad Podcast.
Yes.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about
video games, horror in video games, and the evolution of such. I recently went ahead and downloaded the beta of Night Terrors, which is a new augmented reality game, similar to Pokemon Go, except it uses the same principles behind it. So if you use a VR headset with it, headphones, you're supposed to turn all the lights off in your house and walk around, and it's an interesting game because it learns the layout of your house. So that it knows what corners you're going to be going around when you're walking a certain way and stuff, so it can send ghosts out after you and stuff. And it, right now it's just the beta version, so it's not as intense as it will be eventually, but it's going to be pretty awesome.
Sweet. You got your little goggles sitting here.
Got the VR headset here.
If I was you, I'd be a little bit afraid to go home and test this thing out.
Oh, nobody's in the house right now.
That makes it even better. right on. So what else has been going on?
Just work. Just running around, working, collecting toys and comic books, and dealing with a whole bunch of people, getting a little bit back into the hi-fi equipment stuff again, and just staying busy.
You asked me earlier if I was, and there, like I said, there's two answers. The first one is, no, I'm not in the market for it. But the second one is, yes, I'd like to have a bunch.
Okay.
It's one of those just funny things. Like, I came up, you know, as a kid and whatever, you know, it's like my dad and everybody coming out of the 70s had all this big ass silver hi-fi equipment, mm-hmm. you know, mostly from Radio Shack, because that's where he worked. And then even I, when I was a teenager, I worked at Radio Shack, and it was like at the tail end of like where Radio Shack had their choice. They were going to either go boutique mm-hmm. with a small store. They didn't have the ability to compete with the big boxes like the Best Buy, where Best Buy can do music and, you know, they can do stereo and computers.
Right.
And
just washing machines and everything.
Everything. They have the footprint, the big store footprint to do that. Radio Shack was more of a gadget shop.
Right.
And they had their time in the early 90s where they were going to either go boutique high-end or they were going to go shitty, and they chose shitty. So around the end of my run, they were like, oh, we're going name brand. So they pull in Sony, which was okay, except for they didn't have the room to have everything that Sony made.
Right.
They had like one kind of Walkman and one kind of stereo receiver. And unfortunately, it was always the lower end because people were price conscious. So that's about whenever I left. But man, I've grown up and had really nice hi-fi stuff.
Well, people don't realize the difference between the stuff they make now and the stuff they made then. You know, I tell people all the time, I have a 50 watt per channel, you know, amp at home that I would put, or Marantz, that I would put up against any 300-500 watt amp there is today. Just because of the efficiency behind the speakers that I have and the amp itself, it's unreal how good it sounds.
And it's warm, because back then, and that's one of the things that I learned early on, and it's funny because my friends never agreed, because for them it was always like more power.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Was that if you matched watt for watt, a 2-watt amp matched to a 3-watt speaker would sound good if they were matched up well.
Yeah.
Better than a 1,000-watt amp and a 1,000-watt speaker.
Oh,
when you get to those higher powers, you start getting hum and distortion and stuff like that. And dude, I've got over there in that sideboard under the TV, I've got an Optimus stereo that I bought in 1993 cool. That's still humming. So,
nice, man.
I would like to attach a record player to it.
Well, I got some good beginner ones that I got for real cheap that I could, I mean, you'd probably be surprised at how cheap I can give it to you for.
Nice.
And this one thing I tell people all the time is when it comes to turntables, you want to try to go old and vintage, because you know how they used to have the tracking systems on the turntable where you'd adjust it so that you wouldn't, your needle wouldn't go straight across the record or fly mm-hmm. back off. The way they do it now is they don't have those systems. They don't have those counterweight systems and stuff on the record players now. What they do is they have ceramic heads that are real heavy. So when you play those heavier heads on a vintage album, it wears the grooves down faster. So you want to go old school where you have a lighter head and you can adjust it yourself instead of just putting as much pressure as you can on it. So
I prefer old school in just about everything.
Yeah, well, me too.
I mean, you know. Just, I mean, we're talking about horror stuff. Watching new horror movies, digital blood is stupid.
Yeah, it is.
So sweet, yeah, we'll talk about that after the show. I want to, you know, I guess next Tuesday I'll be at your house recording. So.
Okay, cool.
So let's drop into the history segment. This episode is dropping on December 12th. So looking into history, not a whole lot of really interesting stuff happened on December 12th, going back, you know, 500-600 years, except for on this date in 1408, the Order of the Dragon was established, which, if you know the Order of the Dragon, that was Vlad Tepish,
mm-hmm.
Vlad Dracula, the Vlad the Impaler. He was named Dracula, which is son of the dragon.
Okay.
His father, Dracul, Vlad Dracul, was one of the members of the Order of the Dragon, and as was Vlad.
Mm-hmm.
And they were minor kings of Wallachia. They'll call them boyars and, you know, different, but basically feudal system. They were essentially kings
of
small kingdoms.
Right.
But where they derived their names was because they were members of this Order of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was established on this date in 1408.
Okay, very cool.
So, pretty cool.
We'll toast to them tonight, then.
Yeah. We'll, this is not a vampire episode, though.
There's always room for a vampire episode if you need one, though.
But, yeah, so between now and the next time we meet, we're going to have Thanksgiving. So, you know, try to get together with some friends and play some scary video games, and you've compiled a list, so what have you got?
Yeah, well, I went back, you know, with this Night Terror game coming out, sort of thinking about just the, you know, how scary games have evolved over the years. And, you know, initially with Atari, the first one that I can recall is a game called Haunted House, which was similar to E.T. in that each screen was a room, and you pretty much just went, when you went off the screen, it changed to a different room. It was incredibly boring, a lot of just back and forth across the screen, with people trying to get you trying to survive through the haunted house, which mm-hmm. wasn't scary at all. And then you had a few more like that. And then I guess the first insane one to come out was Splatterhouse,
right.
Which was it was just one of the left to right games, two-dimensional, 2D. You only went two directions.
Side-scroller.
You were pretty much a, you know, image of Jason. They didn't call it Jason, of course. They tried to get by it, but... Splatterhouse came out, it was really good graphics. It was a real big step up. And then afterwards, Friday the 13th said, hey, you're not going to be the only ones to make money off Jason. So they came out with the Friday the 13th, I think the end of the same year. And that one came out. And then you had a few games that went for a while. You had Wolfenstein, which kind of was one of the first person shooter games.
Right.
And those games started coming out because PC games started becoming more popular. You didn't just have to use consoles. So you had a much better processing system to do the games and the graphics and everything. And then, you know, PlayStation 1 came out when I was in college, and that's when it really took a step up. And that's when you had games like Resident Evil, which to this day is still a tremendous franchise.
Before Resident Evil, though, would you consider a game such as like Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, well, that's one thing I looked at too, is just the gore aspect of games. Games started getting bloodier. And Mortal Kombat was the first one, definitely, with the kills that they had at the end of the matches. That
right.
They definitely took a step up. And I think they kind of talked something to the horror genre, say, hey, you know, you guys can have graphics now that show blood and guts and everything else. So
yeah, you have the ability to play.
Right.
Yeah, I remember there used to be in Memorial City Mall over here, there used to be a couple of arcades, but I remember me and my buddies were real big into Street Fighter. Okay. Like they were just huge Street Fighter.
I bought that movie today.
And I was never, like, I was played it, but I was never as big of a nerd as they were as far as the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shout out to all nerds everywhere, and I am one of the biggest ones. I have never been a video game
nerd. It's not a gamer, that's all.
But they were. And I remember going up to the mall to meet up with one of them, and the arcade was actually rolling in this new game, and they had three consoles, and they rolled it up the front, and it was Mortal Kombat, and they put, it was like, they had Street Fighter in front, and then they had, like, in a star pattern, like, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat. And there was lines of kids, and I remember standing there, because I was not in the line, just watching that and plug that shit in and watching it pop up. Mm-hmm. It's like, finish him!
It was a wild game.
And
I think I was a senior in high school when it came.
Yeah, when that, and that, you know, when he, Sub-Zero pulls his head off and the mm-hmm. spine's hanging, like yes. a predator, I was like, dude, it's all changed. Like, this is so cool. I got into Mortal Kombat. I played the hell out of that game.
Mortal Kombat, and just the updated Mortal Kombat, the kill scenes are even more intense.
Oh, they just evolved over the years. Right. Mortal Kombat was great, but you skipped over to Resident Evil. I was like, whoa, you can't yeah, skip yeah. past one of the greatest.
Technically, it's not true horror, but it's definitely
horrifying.
The gruesome factor. That's
what it's gruesome.
That's for sure. And Evil Dead had a second attempt at a game, because they had a game that came out in the 80s that was horrible. And then Hell to the King came out in the early 90s, which was a much better game. I used to have it on PlayStation. I used to play it a lot. And that was a pretty good one. But what I found interesting is, just when I was looking back at this stuff, you know, initially you had video games being made from movies. Mm-hmm. And then I guess you can see where they started realizing that storylines, which could immerse a person into the game, would make it a little bit scarier. And that's when you started having Silent Hill and Resident Evil come out.
Right.
And next thing you know, they're making movies from video games because the storylines were so well written. And we still have, you know, the same thing. There's a Silent Hill franchise, there's a Resident Evil franchise. And they're all still going strong today, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I do believe that, well, it's all the entertainment industry, too. But I do believe the wise producers and directors and stuff, they find a synergy in that, because the video games, the immersive storylines started getting more, you know, as the graphics got better, the memory cards and you know, the just capacity of mm-hmm. the game to make the game harder, more interesting, more graphically able. Story's just gonna follow.
Right.
But then they look at their inspiration, which is like horror movies and comics. I'm like, okay, well, if we can make this horror, you know, this movie from beginning to end, and you're a character in the movie, play it through.
All the more intense once, it is.
Once you come out the other side, it only makes sense that, like, okay, well, let's make a movie out of that.
Right.
You know?
Right. And they've done well with the movies, too. That's the thing. You know, always the Bioshock, which is, I like that game a lot. That's my 10-year-old, sweet 10-year-old daughter, that is her favorite video game. She dressed up as one of the characters for Halloween one year. I hope they don't make a movie out of that one. Because it's just, to me, they would mess it up with a movie, because they would try to romanticize it and add stuff to it that shouldn't be there. Because mm-hmm. it's about a single guy that's down below the sea and by himself trying to survive. And the thing about it is, you know, you have no love story with that. So
right.
I'll be afraid they'd add stuff to it that shouldn't be there. But so far, they've done fairly well with the video games they've converted into movies.
I remember the first Resident Evil was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, the one with Mila Jovovich. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of the others. Well, I take that back. I saw the first Resident Evil, and I liked it. I saw either part of, most of, or all of the second one, and so it was like, man, they lost it.
Right. The Silent Hill movies were real
good. It was just more of the same, and it wasn't scary. It was just kind of like, you know, it's kind of like shock and schlock, mm-hmm. like whatever. But the first one was good, and I used to play Resident Evil quite often.
Okay.
It's kind of weird now, with especially, you know, with VR goggles sitting on our table that we're chatting. With the immersiveness of the internet and YouTube, and you can go on Reddit and read, like, quote-unquote real ghost stories that have, like, photographic evidence and
right.
so much connectivity. If you go back and you look at, like, Resident Evil from, like, 10 or 15 years ago, mm-hmm. it doesn't seem that scary, but I remember sitting there, and when those arms would come busting through walls when you're walking right. down this, it's like, wow. You know, like, it gotcha.
Right.
You know?
You know, I don't remember the name of the game, but there used to be one at Dave & Buster's that actually, you know, when you walked up and you were in line waiting, you sat down inside as though you were in a car and curtains closed to make it real dark inside. And it was actually a disclaimer saying, you know, if you have a heart condition, please don't play this game. Cause the way it was set up is you held on to this bar and it would watch you, it would keep track of your pulse. and it would actually show you when you started getting nervous and everything. And that was a pretty cool game. I don't remember the name of it, but that one was pretty intense. It was cool because my pulse shot up a few times.
This thing jumped out.
It was really cool. But yeah, just the games have taken a turn where I'm really excited about this Night Terrors thing. It's like bringing a haunted house to your house.
Right.
I can't wait to see how it's going to work.
Well, I'm about to take this in a different direction. I mean, did you have more, like, once you got up to BioShock, are we talking about more games? Like, where are we at? Silent Hill, Evil Dead. So, when I was on the Dudes and Beer podcast a couple weeks ago for their pre-Halloween episode, mm-hmm. we were having a conversation about, I don't remember exactly how we got on the subject, but essentially it came down to, remember Wes Craven's New Nightmare?
Yeah.
So apparently that film...
Unfortunately,
Didn't like it. I enjoyed it. It's not my favorite Nightmare, but I did like it, especially when it came out. But apparently, and I don't know if this is fully true or not, but the film itself came from the fact that Wes Craven himself was concerned about the concept of the thought form. In that... It's kind of like old school Gollum, not Gollum from Lord of the Rings, like Golem, like Jewish mm-hmm. literature, where they build a monster out of clay, breathe life into it, and then it's like they're kind of zombie slave.
Yeah.
But Wes Craven was concerned that, and that's the story of New Nightmare, how the whole concept of Freddy Krueger was just a fictional portrayal of a scary monster that grew into something like a pop culture phenomenon that ultimately manifests itself into the real world. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this VR thing, and you're walking around your house and you're filming, like, so you're taking in information.
Yeah.
You're adding to information. Are you haunting your own house with something like the ghost in the machine?
Yeah, or you're adding something to that once you take the glasses off.
Right. That there is something really lurking behind, you just can't see it without the glasses.
Right.
Those are the sorts of things that I become interested in. I'm like, wow, you know, like, so, I don't know, what's your thoughts on those sorts of things?
I could see it, you know, being very possible, because I'm a believer of the fourth dimension, that parallel universe that coexists with us, but we just can't see it because we're on a different plane. Kind of like the way two-dimensional character can't see a three-dimensional character,
right,
because of the way it's set up. You know, we can't see anything in the fourth dimension, even though it exists right here. You know, it's possible somebody's sitting at the table with us right now. We just don't
right.
realize it. And it goes back to Rudy Rucker, who, my favorite mathematician, that came up with that theory of the fourth dimension, which is, oh yeah, it's very possible. I think it's true. Be honest with you, so
something that just popped in my head that's almost even a little scarier. You pop that thing on, you walk around your house, it's recording every nook and cranny and corner, and that's all live beta for NSA to look at.
Yeah.
You know, you turn your head, they're like, well, that's where he'd hide whenever we kick in his door.
Yeah. That's where he keeps the gun in the corner.
Right. Make sure you clean up your house before you... and by clean up, I don't mean sweep the floor. I mean,
right. You're sweeping for something, but it's not trash on the floor.
But no, man, you're right. I, like I said, I've never really been a gamer. I've always enjoyed playing the game.
Oh, yeah, boy, I've been that intensive. My son, even, you know, he was a real strong gamer at one time. He kind of just dove off of it. But I enjoy it. Every once in a while, I'll go sit down and play some God of War or something and just... You know, I love God of War. I love the storylines in that one also.
I don't think I've ever played that one.
It's a pretty... It's all based on Greek mythology. It's a very cool game. A lot of fun to play.
That sounds like it'd be up my alley. I love mythology and, you know...
Well, the God of Kratos himself, the God of War, that's, you know, the main character in the show. He's pretty much the bastard child of Zeus that Zeus mm-hmm. kicked out. And he's mean. He is very mean.
You would think he would be.
He likes taking down the other gods, so yeah.
Nice. But yeah, dude, like, my thing is, and we talked about in the last episode, or the last one or the one before, you tell a story enough times, you forget when you told it. But no, that whole NES emulator and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, and this is for longtime people or new people that are just now coming on Scary Dad. I've got a lot of posts on Scary Dad talking about how damn busy I am. Because what happened was, having my first kid was, like, super easy. She was well-behaved. She slept through the night. She was, you know, easy to get along with, happy. And I had lots of free time. I mean, like, I'm not saying that it was, like, the same as not having kids.
Right.
First kid, no problem. Second kid, dude, she was even easier than the first one. But the problem was there was two of them. So I haven't had, like, 2 minutes to rub together in, like, 3 years. My little one just turned 3 yesterday. But here in the last, like, couple of months, since you and I started doing this, I've been finding time, like, after hours to sneak it out and
right.
try to work it out. But I envision a time, and hopefully the not-so-distant future, where I can plug in, you know, I could go hit up a, pick up an old PlayStation and throw in some old Resident Evil and yeah. catch up on what I've been missing. I mean, even old, like, Mario Brothers, just with the girls, like, you know, I enjoy doing that, so.
Right. You know,
maybe I'll find a second life where I become a gamer. I kind of doubt it, but, you know, it's
there. But it's good. Like I said, every once in a while, you know, every once in a blue moon, I sit down and play games for a couple of hours. It's a lot of fun. Left 4 Dead is another one that you probably enjoy. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but it kind of came out with the proliferation of zombie movies and games that popped up. And Left 4 Dead is a cool one. It's funny. It's campy, but it's also scary at times. It's a good game to play.
Cool.
Then they have some that they're... to me, their storyline is a little too intense. Like Heavy Rain. I don't know if you're familiar with Heavy Rain. But that one is the story of a guy who... he goes to the mall, I think it is, one day. And one of his kids gets kidnapped and murdered. And his marriage goes on the rocks because the wife blames him for the child dying because he wasn't watching it. And then his second child gets hit by a car and he dies. And it's just
really... This is a video game?
Yeah, it's a video game. Stuff happens in it, like, you know... It's you have to stick with the story. You're pretty much immersed in the story. And there's stuff like, you know, your last child is sitting at the table and he's mad at you and he's just bitter at the world and you're making him a TV dinner. And you got to make sure you put it in the microwave for long enough, otherwise it's cold when he goes to eat it. It's a little bit too detailed.
Yeah, that's messed up.
I just want to kick somebody in the mouth sometimes and play Tekken or something. You know,
yeah, like...
that's more my speed.
Yeah, like a fighter game. Something that, you know... And that was one thing, too, is like, because... same roommate that had the PlayStation where he used to play Resident Evil. He had the first, Grand Theft Auto mm-hmm. GTA, and for whatever reason, like with Resident Evil, I actually did play the campaigns. Like I actually cared about like
right.
finding the key and opening the door and moving to the next spot. And oh shit, I forgot something. I have to go back. You know, like Resident Evil does. With GTA, I was like, this takes too much brain trust. I just want to shoot everything. I just go on rampages and brrr.
Just have fun with that. I don't need to finish it. Next level, who needs that?
I don't need to go anywhere else. I got myself a perch and a sniper rifle. I'm happy. So I never could, like, I mean, I just didn't care enough to move right. forward with that. So, you know, that was me, but.
But it's so funny with some of these games. My son, he,
I would like to go back and play Splatterhouse again, though.
Okay.
I remember that.
That was a cool game. Big old Jason. You know, your reward for a lot of these games is to, you know, complete the story, make it all the way through to fruition, and then you get your credits. You know, you get your, mm-hmm. your ending scene and everything. And it's like a serious reward for some of these cats. And my son, he told me that recently he had finished, I can't remember what game it was, but he had took a two days, knocked it out, and... His reward was finally starting, the credits were rolling, and his mom showed up at home and started all kind of racket and ruined it for him. And he called me up that night miserable, just about to have a fit, because he's like, you know what it's like? You work so hard to get it, and then you can't enjoy it.
That sucks, man.
Hey, he's a gamer. But like I said, he when a new title comes out, he gets it, knocks it out, and then he's done for a while. He doesn't stay on too much.
So do you think, like, especially with, like, the I don't want to go like deep in, into the like MMRs, like I don't know what you call it, I don't know, the best example I could think of is like Warcraft, but like the Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Is that, because again, not a gamer, don't know. Is that a natural extension of just the paper games we used to play?
Yeah, it is.
And it's not the, is it the same as gaming? Is it the, like, and I know I sound like an old fart here, but is it the same as like, I'm going to buy this game and I'm going to beat it in 2 days and post up on the leaderboards?
No, it's more like, I mean, just like you remember the old D&D clubs back when we were in high school.
But it's not the same, it's not the same people, the same kind of people that play these.
I find that it is, actually. It? Yeah. Yeah. Because you immerse yourself into it. You actually build a character that you are in that game. And, yeah, it's just the evolution of the old D&D clubs we used to have in high school, man. I used to sit in with them every once in a while. I used to sit in with D&D guys every once in a while, and you know, I learned a little bit about it. I never got, you know, but there's still kids that play D&D a lot. My son has a few friends. He called me up one day. No, he was in my car, and somebody called him, and I heard him say something about, you know, are we playing D&D tonight? And I asked him if that was code for drugs, because I refused to believe kids were still playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Dude, the books are everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, when you got half price books, I mean, of course, half price is a place where a lot of people cast off, but it's also a place where they bring stuff in because, you know, I'm sure they've got a central warehouse just full of crap. Yeah. D&D books are everywhere.
Yeah, and like, they're still a traditional way of playing it too, man.
You know, kind of throwback to our other podcast, like how everything was evil in the 80s and stuff. Like, I played D&D. I never would have told my parents. I'm like, you know, but I had like, you know, had like this little elf dude that I never really wanted to get too deep into it because I wouldn't want to like have to make excuses for going playing, but it was right. Kind of like smoking. And it's like, you don't smoke, do you? Like, no. I'll go hide behind the building and smoke a little bit. Like, I'm not buying a Zippo or nothing. Like, that was my commitment to D&D when I was in, like, junior high.
See, I always had an interest in learning about it because there was a video game called Golden Axe. I don't know if you remember that game.
I used to play the hell out of
it. Oh, God. It was at the Circle K not far from my house. And I'd ride my bike there and just play it all day. And, you know, it had similar characters. So mm-hmm. I wanted to learn a little bit about Dungeons and Dragons and stuff. But I never really played it too much. Just hung out with guys that did.
Yeah. I had fun with it. I mean, it was always, like, nothing ever happened. I mean, something happened, but it was like, again, more story, less, you never made it to the end. Like, you'd fight somebody, and then you'd walk. And then you'd fight somebody, and you'd walk. And then somebody else would fight somebody. Like, so it never, like, ended. It wasn't like a, and I always like in these kind of games, like chess. It wasn't like you could be like, okay, I got you in 3 moves.
Right.
Well, I'm out. And we'll play a different game next week. It's like you're always in the same game. But
and I think that's why World of Warcraft has kind of taken off a lot more. It's more accepted, you know, socially with a lot more people than Dungeons and Dragons because it's more action. You mm-hmm. know, it's very immersive.
It's ruined lives.
The South Park episode on World of Warcraft though is excellent. If you have not seen it,
I haven't seen it.
It is incredible. It's one of the best episodes they made, for sure. But the boys start playing it, and they get obsessed with it, and it's definitely worth a watch.
I recently saw that South Park episode of the Guitar Hero.
Oh, that is awesome, man.
Dude, that thing was so true. Like, I'm so glad that that game kind of went away. Like, I know it's there, but...
But it's not nearly where it was.
God.
And then the one starts playing the Chase the Dragon game.
Oh, yeah. Back when that really started getting popular was when MySpace was popular. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, I don't remember exactly how the MySpace interface friends list worked, but I had one anyway. Like, everybody had one, but I had one specifically because I was in a band, so I was promoting my band through MySpace. And my band was a costumed heavy metal cover band. So, like, they're just pictures of me with my guitar and like crazy costumes and stuff like that. And one of the guys that was my friends he was always posting pictures and updates about his Guitar Hero scores. And I don't care, man, whatever makes you happy. You know, some people like you know, soap operas and other people like other things. I don't care if that's, but I just quit. Like, I just, whether I sent him a direct message or posted on his page or however that worked, I just told him, like, dude, if you spent 20 minutes a day actually playing a real guitar, you could learn how to play a real guitar. Like, it's really not that hard.
Right.
You have to get through the first, like, the pain of your joints and your fingers cramping. Once you're there, then it's pretty easy. So he started sending me messages and asking questions, like, what should I buy? I was like, buy the most expensive piece that you can afford that you could also return or sell and not be out if you change your mind later. But better guitars are easier to play than cheaper ones.
Mm-hmm.
So he went and bought like a midline, you know, probably a couple hundred dollars, you know. Okay, so then he'd, every now and then, like, he'd start posting his videos of him, like, and over time, just like, then he'd send me things and ask me questions. I'm trying to play this song, this is how the tab goes, I can't figure it out. And I'd, like, look at it, and I'd be like, and I'd record a little video and send it back. And, like, within a few months, he was actually pretty good.
Okay.
And I was like, dude, I taught a guy how to play the guitar on MySpace without, like, ever meeting him in person. I don't even know where the hell he was from. But then I saw that South Park episode, and I'm thinking, like, how much talent is wasted? Because that was, like, 12, 13 years ago, you know, and all of those guitars, all those players are grown now.
Right.
They're all 12 now. They're all pushing 30 now. You know, they're 12 then, you're all, like, in their mid-late 20s and don't know how to play guitar.
So. You know, my daughter, she taught herself on a, she wanted an acoustic guitar, I got her one. And she wanted lessons. I said, I'm not paying for lessons until you show some commitment. I said, go on YouTube. I can promise you you'll find videos. You better learn to play it. And sure enough, she taught herself how to play the guitar.
Nice.
And she recently, she picked up a ukulele when we were over at Pop Culture the other day. And she heard her favorite band, the lead singer, has a song where he plays a ukulele. So she popped up YouTube real quick while we were at Pop Culture. And next thing I know, I see she's on Snapchat playing chords and everything on the ukulele. I mean, she's pretty good. I might have to pay for some lessons now, but a ukulele is definitely in her future. She really wants one badly. So
that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, she loves playing it. And a keyboard, started herself keyboard too. Bought her a bunch of music books, YouTube, and she went with it.
That was me. My parents bought me guitar, took me to lessons. I learned a little bit. I always thought I could start a, like, guitar teaching empire by using this one word, and it's called context. Because I actually used to teach guitar, and I'm not a really good guitar player. Like, I'm really, really not. Even now, I haven't played in a long time, but when I was at my best, I wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
But what I figured out was, when you go and you buy, like, Mel Bay books, and they're like, this is an A chord, and this is a B chord, and this is a C chord, on down the line, they don't give you any kind of context, and all you get is bruised fingers, mm-hmm. sore joints, and frustration, because everything you try sounds like you're pounding on the bottom of a bathtub,
mm-hmm.
and then you watch, like, a Guns N' Roses video, and you're like, I'll never be this good. Context. Student comes in. This is a C chord, a D chord, and a G chord. Okay. Practice them, learn them. Do the best you can to move between. See me next week. Practice these three chords, nothing else. Tab it out, read it. Okay. Next week. Here's 100 songs you can play now. And here's the order that they go in. Three chords, C, D, and G. This song goes this way, this song goes that way, this song. They always held on to it and kept, like, oh, okay, well, now I can learn this new song and I just have to add one new chord.
Right.
One new one. I can play this whole other song. The context allowed them to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, and I learned it from a book. You know, because that was back in the day before the internet.
Right.
But yeah, that's when my buddies were at What's It playing Street Fighter. I was sitting on my bed trying to play guitar because I knew a long time ago that the girls went for the guitar and not for how good your Street Fighter game was.
See, I got one of my best friends from high school. I miss him. He lives in Austin now. His name's Bart. He's been playing music for a long time, but he's probably the most phenomenal guitarist that I know. Got a full pay scholarship for music and ended up dropping out of school because he was far ahead of the teacher. So he just went ahead and just continued his music career. But he was so intense in guitar. Like, remember one night he was at a club and he fell off of this platform. And instead of catching himself with his hands, he didn't want to hurt his hands because of guitar. He fell on his face on everything. Wow. He went ahead and sacrificed himself for his hands. But he is. And I've always been just so amazed by the way he can play. I got a few friends that play guitar. I've always been impressed by that. I had other things that I was doing. I was into other than guitar, so I just never learned how to play it.
Yeah, that was a big part of my life for a long time. But, again, just everybody does their thing. The guitar hero thing, the click, clack, click, clack, click, clack, that really made me sad. Because I was like, man, those kids, they would learn how to play a real guitar with a real guitar and learn how to ride a real skateboard. They'd probably do better.
Well, even Stan's dad, he comes down and goes, I can really play guitar.
They're all like, yeah.
He comes down in his underwear with his guitar in his amp.
Yeah, they're like, you suck, go away. Well, ladies and gentlemen and things of a non-binary nature and maybe a non-human nature, things of maybe a non-corporal nature, we don't discriminate against any of our listeners.
All are welcome.
Everybody's welcome. As you're listening to this, everything I did today will be in the distant past. So what you need to do is subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Stitcher, subscribe on SoundCloud, go to YouTube, look at the videos, look at the site, click on all the buttons, tell us you like us, tell us you hate us. Believe it or not, even hating us is better than being quiet.
And we will respond.
And we will respond and we'll hate you back. I've got a whole bunch of middle finger stickers that I printed up just for you. So that's going to finish up episode 9 about video games. As with everything, we are not, we're not locked down. This may be, but doesn't have to be our only video games cast. In fact, we're going to have to do a follow-up to see how this VR thing works.
Yes, and we'll be doing a follow-up and also look for a review on ScaryDad.com that I'll be putting up on the Night Terrors game to let you guys know how it works.
So, with that, you guys, be good, keep it scary. Have fun. See you soon.
See you next time.